Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts. Walking around the room singing
stormy weather. Crowded House, all 80s, takeaway morning here on December 28th. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste is out for the holidays. So it was an adventure for me to get to work today, and I wasn't able to get to work yesterday. And a personal lesson learned from the New York blizzard, and that is, it's important to be able to walk. Wheelchairs are of no value at all in the snow. And we asked most of you on the East Coast under a thick blanket of snow for your own weather report, and we got some stories.
Kevin from Oxford, Massachusetts. I'm driving on a snow-covered highway with a ton of people that shouldn't be on the road, but that's New England for you.
This is Susan in Oklahoma City. It is 35 degrees, a gorgeous winter day, dry on the streets, no snow. We didn't have a white Christmas, but it was cold and chilly and clear and beautiful. Sorry about the people in the Northeast.
That's some of our listeners there who called 877-8-MY-TAKE. So Oklahoma City didn't have a white Christmas, but we got this contact from another one of our listeners down in the South Carolina, Rebecca Poston Creel, who listens to us on WRJA in Columbia, South Carolina. She wrote this story to us. My brother-in-law is terminally ill, and we are afraid that this may be our last Christmas together. We celebrated the holiday on Sunday and all woke up to a blanket of snow. In South Carolina, it's a very uncommon event. It was so wonderful to play with our brother, his 3-year-old daughter, and the rest of the family in the snow for the holidays. It may have been the best Christmas of our lives. It was, without a doubt, a Christmas miracle for our family. Well, we gave Rebecca a call. She put us in touch with her sister, Erin, and it's Erin's husband, Patrick, who has terminal cancer in that story. And she joins us now. Erin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Christmas miracle?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think the last time we had a white Christmas was 1989. So definitely been a while.
So what do you think motivated your family to reach out and share that story? Because I tell you, I've been thinking about it ever since I read the email.
Well, you know, dealing with someone that does have a terminal illness, especially as young as my husband and I are, it is it's extremely isolating and something you never really think you're going to have to face at a young age, and you know, really having to wrap your brain around this may be your last Christmas with your loved one. But for those of us that are in that position, it can be extremely isolating. And just to kind of let folks know you're not alone. It's you're not the only one that's going through this process.
You know, in the way that we got the story, it seemed as though, from the perspective of your family, and I wonder if you could just sort of explain how this feels, that the snow itself was sort of a message to you folks. Did it feel like that?
Well, you know, it just seemed like all of the cards fell right into place. You know, Christmas is such a stressful time of year. We even sometimes have a policy in our family, don't make it Christmas. You know, we love Thanksgiving. You show up and eat, and then you take a nap, and then you eat some more. But Christmas is so hectic. But when you woke up and our family was getting together, I mean, it was like a picture postcard. We had a fire roaring in the living room and a ham in the oven and snow in the yard, and it was almost surreal. Especially in South Carolina.
In South Carolina.
And if it's a hint of snow, they cancel school.
What did your husband, Patrick, say about the snow?
Well, I woke up to, oh, my gosh, look out of the window. I can't believe it. Get the baby dressed. Let's go outside. And because he is so sick, I mean, he's very weak and he has good days and bad days, relatively speaking to one another. So to wake up and him so excited and we threw coats on and mittens and went outside and made a snowman and had a snowball fight. And my little girl, she's 3, and she'll be 3 Friday,
right,
and fell back and, let's make snow angels. For just a brief moment, it was though he wasn't sick.
Wow.
And those times are very few and far between. He was diagnosed in the spring of last year. And sent, he has a very rare cancer, and as soon as the oncologist in Columbia saw it on a Monday, he met with an oncologist, and by Thursday we were at MD Anderson in Houston, which is one of the largest cancer centers in the country.
Right.
And since then, he's had multiple surgeries, radiation, chemotherapy, and once we did find out that his cancer had come back a third time, And you, the doctors tell you, you meet with doctor after doctor, you know, well, maybe this next doctor can help you. And then they let us know that they can. And then you know, maybe this next doctor will help you. It's very discouraging, and it can really, really weigh you down.
Well, Aaron, I know that all of us here at the show and all of our listeners are praying for you and your family. You know, I'm just sort of thinking, you know, maybe this is the miracle. You know, you've got a three-year-old, right?
She is three.
And the remembering daddy part is so difficult and painful. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of kids, you know, they some of their first memories are like snow and weather.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, she has never known any different. I mean, she was 14 months old when my husband was diagnosed. And so she, you know, I'm very honest with her about his illness, and but she knows daddy's weak, and his tumors have moved into his brain, and so his face is very sensitive, and so she knows she can't kiss him on the face because it can hurt him, and so she'll kiss him on the arm or the leg.
But she's going to remember those snow angels.
Absolutely, we sure will. And the snowman, where you know the coal, coal for buttons and eyes. There, we have no coal. I think we use grapes for eyes and a pine cone for a nose. So you got to improvise when you never see snow.
And you know, being a caregiver for someone like your husband is a full-time job, and
absolutely.
It's I can just hear the stress and all the juggling of the holidays. You know, we wish you the best, Aaron.
Well, I appreciate it. We'll take all the prayers we can get.
Well, Aaron Stone, thanks so much for sharing your family's Christmas miracle with us. Aaron Stone, her husband Patrick, has terminal cancer, but they got a snowy Christmas in Columbia, South Carolina. Aaron, good luck to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll leave you with a song.